This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Birds have been around on this planet for so long and have adapted in thousands of ways, going all the way back to when their evolutionary lines split off from what would become dinosaurs. Birds are still changing, even as their numbers dwindle in Michigan. University of Michigan researchers have published a new paper that delivers striking news about birds and how they've been shaped by Michigan's climate. We've got two members of the team with us now. Marketa Zimova is an evolutionary biologist and a lead researcher on the paper. And Ben Winger is also an evolutionary biologist, an ornithologist, and a senior author on the study. It appears in the Journal of Animal Ecology. Marketa, Ben, it's nice to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Studies have shown us that birds are migrating earlier in the springtime over the past few years. Let's start with this. Marketa, is there anything you can tell us about why that's happening?
Sure, yeah. So we've been seeing across the world, actually, that birds are advancing their migrations in the spring. And the main cause for it is for them to avoid this mistiming with falls in food resources. So basically, because of climate change, it's a lot warmer earlier in the spring. And so the plants come out earlier and their main food, which in our case are caterpillars, are out earlier. So in order to keep up with these seasonal changes, they are now leaving their wintering grounds earlier to arrive on their breeding grounds early in the spring to the end of the sentence.
Right. So when we do talk about climate change, it's maybe not so much whether it makes the birds comfortable or uncomfortable, but whether or not they can survive based on finding food, right?
Sure, and to reproduce. So yeah, they do need this major pulse of food in order to feed their nestlings.
Can you give us some examples of specific species and how climate change might be affecting their migration?
Yeah. So sure, this study mainly focused on songbirds. So a lot of the familiar migrants that actually come through Michigan every spring and fall. Our study took place in Chicago, but a lot of the same birds are found in Michigan. And so an example would be some of our early migrating sparrows, like the white-throated sparrow, or early migrating thrushes, like the hermit thrush. And we studied these birds that show up early in the spring, and we also studied birds that migrate much longer distances and that we don't see at these latitudes until a bit later in the spring. And that would be like the Swainson's thrush or some of our warblers that migrate much longer distances to winter in the tropics. And we generally found that the species that spend the winter closer to Chicago or closer to Michigan are changing the timing of their migration a little bit more than species that spend the winter further away in the tropics.
Can you tell us about how you went about collecting data for the paper?
Yeah, these data are from building collisions of birds or birds that have collided with buildings in Chicago and have been picked up by lots of volunteers over the past four decades. And these volunteers are people who are trying to understand why birds collide with buildings and how to prevent it. And the specimens from these dead birds made their way to the Field Museum, the Natural History Museum in Chicago. And over the past four decades, they've accumulated an enormous number of these bird specimens from building collisions. And so we've used these collision data to study a variety of things, from how the birds are changing in their morphology, their size and their shape, to better understanding why these collisions are happening in the first place. But in this paper, we were actually able to see the signature of changing migration patterns just based on the dates when the species collided with buildings and how that changed over the four-decade course of the study.
I have a question about the method of collection, but first, let's learn more about what you actually found. Marketa, what does the research tell us? What did you learn from the data set about how the size and shape of birds are changing?
So we previously looked at this in a different paper that was led by one of the senior authors on this paper, Brian Weeks, and we found that Overall, these 52 species of birds are shifting dramatically in their morphology. So they are decreasing their body size, while simultaneously they're increasing their wing lengths over the past 40 years.
Do you have any early theories on why bodies might be getting shorter and wings might be getting longer?
Oh, yes, we do. Definitely. So that previous paper actually did describe what might be driving these shifts. So we did find that for the body size, it is reducing due to the warmer temperatures at their breeding ground. So it is actually better to have a smaller body just because you can lose heat more effectively. The increases in wing length, this is something that we continue to study, but this early study also showed that there is a link between the decreasing body size and increasing wing length. So we hypothesized, or we did find some supporting evidence, that in order to compensate for smaller bodies, they are increasing their wing length just so they can maintain these long migrations, because longer wings are basically improve flight efficiency.
The way that evolutionary changes happen has to do with many generations, as we saw with Darwin's finches, and variants in a bird's body type or structure repeating themselves in the specimens that tend to do very well at reproducing themselves, right?
Correct. Yes. Except one thing, we do find that evolution can happen a lot faster than we previously expected. And even in the Darwin finches, things can, or birds and other animals can evolve quite rapidly.
What is the pace of this change? I mean, can we say that these generations of birds with smaller bodies and longer wing lengths are truly becoming dominant?
Sure. So essentially, the population is responding to the environment. And so the birds that are smaller and longer winged, we don't know. There's a couple different ways that the populations could be changing by evolution. One way is that they could be surviving better, that they could actually have reduced mortality. Or another way is that they just have better reproductive success, that is, they produce more offspring. And so we don't know, based on these data, which one of those things is happening more, whether it's better reproduction in the birds that are smaller and longer winged, or reduced mortality. But it seems that over these four decades, we are seeing a signature of change. And so that's the main thing we're focusing on. There are other possibilities, which is that the birds, the populations aren't changing in the classic way we think about with evolution, which is the sort of rise in dominance of one phenotype, but rather that they are changing in their development. So if you think about how the conditions in which animals develop when they're early in life can influence their size, it's possible that the size of these birds is being influenced also by their development, and it's not as much this evolutionary change that we see across generations. Either of those things could be happening, both of those things could be happening at once, and it's going to require different kinds of data to be able to tease that apart.
If you're just joining us today, my guests are Ben Winger and Marketa Zimova. They're part of a team of scientists who just published on Michigan's birds and climate change in The Journey of Animal Ecology. It was so interesting that of the 50-some species that you studied, there was not really a direct correlation between how much the birds had physically changed and how much earlier they began migrating. Ben, I think this kind of speaks to the possible factors that you just listed for us. But were either of you surprised by that fact?
Yeah, I think that we know from other studies that bird migration phenology is changing. So there are many other studies in which birds have been shown to be migrating earlier and earlier across years in the spring. And so it's kind of natural to hypothesize that maybe these changes in bird size and shape that we saw could have something to do with these changes in migration timing. We didn't find that. And so I think what's happening is that there's something more universal that is affecting all of these the size and shape of all of these different species that doesn't have much to do with their migration timing, but could have more to do with what it's like to be a bird in general in this really rapidly changing environment.
Yeah. Ben, I know that you have been studying migration and bird collisions as they relate to each other. Could you explain a little bit about how this relates to this research?
Sure. So the data that went into this research is actually from a rather unfortunate source, which is that birds collide with buildings during their migration quite a lot. We see this throughout Michigan, particularly in the larger cities. The data in this study were from Chicago, which is experiences a lot of bird migration and also a lot of mortality. And the main reason is that many of these buildings have their lights on at night, whether it's office windows that are illuminated from the illuminating the building from the inside, or lights on the outside of a building. And these migratory birds mostly migrate at night, and they're attracted to these artificial lights, and they then collide with the buildings. And so it's a big problem in many cities across North America and throughout the world. The essentially lots of birds die, and our research is trying to then use these specimens to learn something about the birds while also learning how to reduce these collisions. And so in another recent study, we were able to use the number, the pattern of when birds collided at night throughout their migrations at one of the buildings in Chicago, and connect that to when the building had the lights on and what the weather patterns were, to really show in detail when it is that birds collide with these lighted buildings, and how turning the lights off either throughout the whole migratory period or at certain times can really reduce these collisions.
This has to be maybe the most unusual variety of specimen collection I've ever heard of for a scientific study. I guess I'm kind of glad that while bird collisions are causing huge problems for bird populations, that they are yielding some information. I did wonder, though, does data that we get from bird collisions, does that select for a certain kind of bird that's maybe more likely to fly into a building in Chicago, Illinois?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are some species that don't fly into buildings as much. Some of these are a little bit surprising. So we do see lots of, so for the bird watchers out there, we see lots of warblers and thrushes and sparrows that collide with these buildings. But we see almost none of another kind of migratory bird that's really common, and that's vireos. And so in all this research we're doing, we know essentially nothing about how these changes are happening in vireos, because that data isn't available. I do think that, you know, while it's possible that different birds might be more likely to fly into buildings, I think it's pretty unlikely that the buildings themselves could be producing the patterns that we see. That is, this changing body size, I think, because these birds are coming from populations that are really large, it's more likely that the specimens that we're seeing are representative of a larger sample.
Do we know anything about why one species of bird is likely to fly into a building and why another is not?
The major divide has to do with when they migrate, so whether a bird migrates at night versus during the day. And so certain species like blackbirds, for example, they mainly migrate, blackbirds and swallows, they would mainly migrate during the day. Those species are less likely to be colliding in large numbers in an urban setting, simply because they can see a little bit better what's going on during the day. Whereas the birds that are migrating at night are really the ones that are most prone to building collisions.
Hmm. You know, we kind of skipped over a point that I guess might be kind of important. This shift in the migration patterns of birds coming to Michigan, what does it mean for these bird species and for their larger and for the ecosystems that they're involved with?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I will say, aside from our research, it's really important to know that these birds, their populations are declining rapidly. So we know that North America has lost something like 30% of its avifauna, of its number of birds, in recent decades. And so regardless of what shrinking birds means, I just want to drive home the point that these many of these bird populations are suffering. Now, whether shrinking in size is bad for a bird or whether it's indicative of an adaptation to the current climate, that's something we don't really know yet. As Marquetta said, it is better in a warmer environment to have a smaller body. And so it could be that at some level, these birds are able to keep pace with some aspects of climate change, but whether they're really doing so enough to produce as many young as they would have 40 or 50 years ago, we don't know that from our data alone.
Marquetta, what struck you most about this data set as you went through it?
Definitely in this study and in the previous study, that those shifts are just so widespread. Again, we have so many species and they're all doing the same thing. And then the other thing is that those two shifts are completely decoupled. Most of the time we are able to study one aspect of animal biology or ecology, and how is that changing in response to climate change. But really with this data set, we were able to look at both of them and see how they interact. And we did have some good reasons to think that they would, just because bird morphology is really designed for efficient flight, and we did not find them. So I think it was just really a shocking finding.
Yeah. Ben, I know that there are ways that the public can help with the research that you're doing. Can you explain what it is that you need people to do if they find or see a bird that's collided with a building?
Sure. Well, I think one of the best ways is to, particularly if you live in one of Michigan's larger cities, is to get involved in a local bird collision monitoring effort, which is sometimes headed by the local Audubon Society, or what's called a lights out initiative, which is to get local municipalities to turn their lights off. At the University of Michigan Museum of Zoology, we can receive these migratory birds that have collided with buildings and prepare them as specimens. And so the main thing is to put it in your freezer with a plastic bag, but it's really better to get in touch with one of your local Audubon societies to know how to learn the best way to do that before the bird makes its way to a museum.
Marquetta Zimova and Ben Winger are both evolutionary biologists at the University of Michigan. Ben's also an ornithologist. And Marquetta is the lead researcher and Ben the senior author of this new study that can be found online. Marquetta, Ben, it's really been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, April. It's been great.
Yeah, thanks so much.